we've been out a few Sundays, it sure feels good to get back in church.
I was missing something. I couldn't figure out what it was. It was my microphone. Trying to find it. If you got your Bibles, go with us to the book of Luke in the second chapter. And I'm not going to preach the Christmas message this morning, so don't worry about that. But we're going to look at three particular passages of Scripture this morning in the Bible. And I think that they're very needful for you and I in the day and hour which we're living in to be mindful of. And so we will start in verse 8, Luke chapter 2, and read down through at least verse 14. Anyways, he said, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Father, tonight, this morning, I thank you, Lord, for your love. I thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. Just ask you, dear Lord, loose our tongue, fill our mind. Dear God, we pray that we'll just deliver, Father, to these that are here, that which you'd have us to, nothing more, nothing less. We ask you, Father, these things in Christ's name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I thought it was very interesting to think about. Not, you know me, and I love to look up passages and words and different things in the Bible, but glory to God is only found three times in Scripture. And I want you to think about this. The first one was when they were worshiping God, giving glory to God for the proclamation that was declared, for the revelation that Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, had been born. And the heavenly host, the Bible said, and suddenly, verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You and I this morning, when we stop to think about these things, look at just a few things that come to us. One, God was willing to reveal Jesus Christ. He was willing to reveal His Word. In verse 8, "And there was in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord come upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." Why? They'd never seen anything like this, no doubt, in their lifetime. This had never happened before. And this was something new to them. But listen to me. It is an amazing thing that God wanted to reveal to those that were there this proclamation. And you and I, this morning, we come to the house of God, and I thought about asking the question today, why did you come to church? And you know, we might all start to give a little bit of a different answer. And that would be acceptable. I mean, after all, we could say, well, I come to worship God. Or I come because I love the Lord. I come, you know, and we'll go through this. And maybe we'll have several of the same answers, but different ones. But really, I come this morning because Jesus saved me. I mean, that's the real long and the short of all the answers. Everything after that is what we would say. Worshiping God. Why? Because Jesus saved me. I love the Lord. Why? Because Jesus saved me. You know, we can think about all the reasons why in this aspect. But God loved us so much, not only was He going to give us Jesus, but He made sure to reveal to those that were there that Jesus was there. Jesus had come. Fulfillment of the prophecy of the book of Isaiah had come true in that day. And they were to go and find this child, this babe, wrapped in swaddling clothes there. But He said, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid. And He said in verse 10, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Aren't you glad this morning that God did not hide the gospel from anyone? That God did not hide that Jesus Christ was coming from anyone. I mean, after all, think about what the Bible says. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right? For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, these are words that the Bible's given us, that God's revealed to us. And when we stop and we look at the proclamation that's declared here, to these shepherds at this time, how many things can we find that have been revealed that leads us to this? That we need to make sure that we give glory to God. Only three times in Scripture is it found, but every time it is found in the aspect of this. Why do we not give glory to God? The angels, the heavenly host, gave glory to God. Why should we not be giving glory to God? Why do we withhold sometimes these thoughts or these things there? In verse 11, "For unto us is born this day in the city of David, which is Christ, for unto us is born this day of David a Savior, in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." He is declared, even on the proclamation, that He is what? Our Savior. He is our Redeemer. The promise of the Messiah has come. And when I say has come, friend, it's because He is the Messiah who has come. We're not waiting for Him. He's already gotten here. The angels declared He was there unto us in the city of David. A Savior is born, Christ the Lord. And they said, "There shall be a sign unto you, shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." And suddenly, I don't know, but you know, you gotta wonder sometimes. The Bible doesn't tell us these things, but I think God allows us to use a little bit of our imagination, not to distort the Word, but to kind of put ourselves in the picture there, what it would be like after that the angel comes to make the declaration. Now think about in Scripture. There was a reader, or in history, I guess you could say, there would be one who comes out and makes a proclamation, and all the people hear the proclamation, and at the end of that, there is either one of two things, right? There is a bunch of boos, or a bunch of woos. One of the two. You know, either they like it or they don't like it. There's a celebration or there's an aggravation. And you just stop to think about it this way. The proclamation that Jesus Christ came and that He is our Savior. He's coming to you and I now. We've got this. And not only is it just by word, but God gives us the ability to confirm it, and that He tells them where to go, where to find Him, and how He will be. Now, I'm just here to tell you something this morning. It'd have been a lot harder to find Him had God just said, "You'll find the babe in Bethlehem." How many babies would have been in Bethlehem? How many? I mean, after all, we know this. People are being born every day. I mean, it's the facts that there is. There's not just one birth today. There's thousands of births today throughout the world. So God said, here's the specificity of Him. "You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." I mean, just stop to think about this morning. "For this shall be the sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes." And where is He going to be at? A manger. A food trough. He's not going to be in the finest room in the suite. He's not going to be in the penthouse on the top floor. Let me put it this way. He's not behind locked, closed doors. God has never been behind closed, locked doors. And Jesus, from the time that He came, was out and open to the public. You just stop to think about this. You say, "Brother Ernie, you mean He never went to a house?" I'm not saying that. Don't go deep on me. But what did Christ tell Him? He said, "Daily I taught in the temples, in the streets." Just think about it. He did everything He did in the open. You know, it was not hidden. Well, God didn't hide it. The problem is that nobody would have been looking for Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior, in the barn, in the manger, in just regular, ordinary, swaddling clothes. I mean, after all, He's Christ. He ought to be in the palace, decked with gold, tapestries all around Him. You ought to be laying in a golden crib and all have the finest of silk and velvets and wool, whatever it might be at the time that they had there. But no, God said, I'm bringing him to the people. To all the people. So grateful, so thankful for that this morning. That God did it this way. Suddenly, okay, the proclamation's been made. The declaration is declared. God in this, and I'm going to say this, God might have, and I'm just using my imagination, this is not written in Scripture, don't think it is Bible, but can you imagine God is saying this, I'm going to tell them what they're going to see. You keep quiet until it's done. Afterwards, you can have all the fun you want. After I've said what I need to say, go ahead and rejoice. Show them what we should do. Just think, church, what would you do if somebody had made that declaration and that proclamation to you? I can see as the shepherds would ponder these things, you and I would do the same thing. But listen to me. But can you imagine standing there listening to what's going on, and then the next thing you know, instead of one angel, you see the heavenly host of heaven. And they start rejoicing and giving glory to God. Just stop to think about this, church. All of a sudden, something magnificent happened. It was confirmed by the heavenly host that this was true. This was no mystery. This was no mistake. It was evident. Think about the Bible. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, by every word, but by the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word of God be established. That's why it's so important to have the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's why it's so important to listen to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Think about it this way. You have 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, Chronicles. You have the Bible always testifying, witnessing of itself, establishing that it's true. And God in this said, here's the proclamation of the angel, but here's the confirmation of heaven itself. They sang and began to give glory to God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. God wanted us to have something we did not have. So He gave us Jesus. He gave us salvation. He gave us opportunity. Opportunity for our lives to be different. Turn too far if you go over to the book of Luke in the 17th chapter. We'll start in verse 11. Luke chapter 17, verse 11. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And he's talking about Jesus. And he entered into a certain village. There met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now understand the teachings of leprosy. They were supposed to stand off and say, unclean, unclean, unclean. And declare that nobody should come near them because they had leprosy and they were supposed to be unclean. Not only that, but they were in a part, supposed to be in part of a city or on the outside where they wouldn't come in contact with people. But this, they stood afar off. Think about it. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's a far cry from unclean, is it not? That's a far cry from a warning that there was a disease there that he should not be coming near to. I mean, after all, if you think about it, instead of making the proclamation of unclean, 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 what they did instead was desired a hope that they had because of who Jesus was. From the proclamation that Jesus Christ, the Savior, had come unto all people, and now we know He's been going through, He's been teaching, He's been healing, He's been preaching, He's doing all these miracles, He's doing all these wondrous works. He's telling the truth like it is. And by the way, making some folks mad while other folks are glad. But they have this hope that this Jesus, who's done all of these things for other people, now has the ability to do this for them. Instead of saying unclean, they cry out for mercy. They cry out for help. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that we were all dead in our trespasses and sin. But why did we come to the altar one day? And instead of saying unclean, 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 telling Jesus to stay away, we cried out and asked God to forgive us of our sins, to have mercy upon our lives, and to save us. Because we heard that message, did we not? Amen. We heard that proclamation that unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a Savior has come. His name is Jesus. We're not looking in a manger today for Him. We're not looking for Him to be wrapped in swaddling clothes. But we are looking and believing that He stands at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. By the way, who need intercession? I know I do. I need help. I need somebody stronger than me. I need forgiveness. I mean, I'm not perfect, church. And if you think you are, I'll fill the battery up and you walk from one side to the other side without sinking. We'll figure out. You understand what I'm saying today? They had hope. They had belief. They had faith. That's why instead of declaring that they were unclean, they cried out and they lifted up their voices. Church, listen to me. There's nothing wrong with saying it out loud even. Oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, for I failed You. For I'm weak. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. How long has it been since we've cried out for the mercy of God? I want to tell you something else, church, and there's going to be an absolute fact that we need to realize in this in just a moment. But all 10 of these done this together. You realize that? All 10 done it together. They were all there for the same purpose. And he said, and it says, and when he, in verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go and show thyselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, I want you to look at that very carefully there, because I know that there are people who today will say, well, you know what, really only one of them was cleansed. But my Bible says, as they went, they were cleansed. Every one of them. What does the Bible say? It rains on the just and the unjust. You think about it. God does not look at you and say, you know what? You're not what I want you to be, therefore you're not getting saved. Or I won't touch you, or I won't heal you, or I won't do this. But yet God instead says, you know what? You're lost, you're undone. I'm going to do this. But you need to know who done it. How many people have been touched of God and do not do as it's going to happen here? Give God the glory. They ask, they get, but they don't return. They don't give God glory. He said, and one of them, when he saw that he was clean, now think about this, turn back. And with a loud voice, glorify God. He wasn't ashamed of what had happened. He was not ashamed of where it came from. And he was not ashamed to go ahead and return. In return. To glorify God. Church, think about this. Why are you here today? Why are you here? Because Jesus loves you. Jesus saved you. But God wants you and I to give Him glory. God wants us to lift Him up. It's all right. It's all right. Matter of fact, it's not only all right, it is needful for you and I this morning to make sure that we let others know who Jesus is to us, what He has done for us, what He is doing in us, and why we will say to this, God be glorified, and to God be the glory. You and I this morning need to make sure we give glory to God. Verse 16, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? They are not found that return and to give God or give glory to God, save this stranger. This man got something the rest did not get, church. In my opinion. Because look at the next verse. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. When God talks about being made whole, He's not talking simply about being cleansed. He's talking about being saved. There was something more given to this man than to the 9. The 9 was cleansed, but this man got it. This man got more. This man got the rest of the story. Arise and go thy way. Thy faith has made thee. Hey, think about it this way. Whenever they came, they cried out for help. Jesus had mercy. He showed them. He gave them healing. He told them what to do. The one turned around and came back. He worshiped at the feet of Jesus. He gave glory unto God. He gave glory unto Jesus. And then Jesus gave him more. How many of you like Jesus to tell you one day, arise and go thy way, for thy faith has made thee whole? The day that I got saved, I'm telling you something, I knew, and I still know. The Lord saved me. But I'm looking for a time when I stand in the presence of God Almighty with Jesus on my side and He says, welcome in thy good and faithful servant. You know, everybody wants to go on and say, well, He'll say, welcome in thy good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over much. Listen to me. That part of that is immaterial to me. I'm not looking to be made a ruler. I'm just looking to be accepted into the presence of God the Father and God the Son. I'm looking for the opportunity to be eternally in His presence. We worry so much about what we're going to get in heaven, sometimes we forget of what we're supposed to get while we're here in order to get there. If all you care about is what you're going to get, you're going to miss it. But Jesus asked in verse 18, verse 17, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? Where are we this morning? Are we willing truly to give God glory? To give Him praise? To give Him honor? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. Church, as the old saying is, I do not want the rocks to cry out in my place. I want to give glory to God today, now. And then the last place we'll find this morning is in the book of Romans. If you would go over there to the 4th chapter. Excuse me. We got time, so I'm going to start in verse 1. We'll read practically the whole chapter, but let's get the background first. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he whereof to glory, but not before God. Church, a lot of times we do what we do and we want the accolades because of what we've done in the flesh instead of in the Spirit. We want to be praised by the flesh and not by what God is doing in us, which sometimes doesn't lead us to be so, so accepted of men. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed. There was 9, 10 cried, 1 returned. It said, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Why? Because he believed God. He believed God. Now, can I say something? That's why the Scripture says, thou believest there is one God, thou dost well, as the devil do believe and tremble. Abraham believed God, and therefore he done what he did. I've said it before, I'll say it again, you've got to read your Bible. You've got to follow what the Bible says, not just listening to me or anybody else, but what thus saith the Word of God. I looked it up the other evening and found in the Scripture there, and I don't remember how many times, but the Bible has said in the Old Testament, has said in the New Testament, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. You and I must believe God. That's the long and the short of it. That's where it starts and it stops. You got to believe God. And if you believe God, though, you're going to worship God, but you're also going to serve and follow and remain. I mean, you're going to want to remain with God. It's not a hardship to be a Christian. It's a joy. But sometimes we'll push all that away. And I said I was going to read it all. I won't be able to read it all. Jump down to verse 7. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. And how was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. God saved him and therefore he was circumcised. God delivered you and I, therefore we follow him. We make a covenant with God when God, we accept the covenant that God has made with us, right? I will follow thee is the covenant. What did Jesus say? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy might, with all thy strength. Think about it. Every ounce of being and fiber within me to love God. If I love God, I will give glory to God. Not just when He gives me what I want, but when I get what He wants. You think about that. It's like I said last week. The Bible says, delight thyself in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. We all time think that means that I'm going to serve God and I'm going to get riches beyond eternity. Or beyond. I got riches in eternity. I'm going to try to get this right. We're going to get earthly riches that nobody else gets. God's going to give me the delight of my heart, so I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that, I'm going to get this, I'm going to get that. When you delight yourself in the heart in God, the desires of your heart are different because they're godly. They're spiritual. All right. Skip all down way through here because I'll not get it all if I try. Verse 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, talking to Abraham, before him who he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which are not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Remember this, Abraham was beyond childbearing years, Sarah was beyond childbearing years, and it was said to him that he would be the father of many nations, and he had not a child as to yet. And when he come to the point of when he could, God was going to make this happen, it had to be this, that it had to be in God's timing, God's way, and it only had to come from God. And that's what happened. When Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90, they had a son. They had a son. And verse 18 said, against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Church, can I say something to you? I don't care how old you are. You're not too old to glorify God. You're not too old to believe that God doesn't still care about you or that you cannot be effective. Can I say something to you? Giving glory to God is the example that you and I need to be as older people to show a younger generation that it's worthy of giving glory to God all through your life. And at the end of your life, to be glorifying God is more than you and I could imagine. But listen to me, I want it to be said that I did not tell my children, but I showed my children how to serve God, how to get to heaven. Think about it, church. Where's the hope gone in your life? Where's the glory gone in your life? Well, Brother Ernie, I'm just too old. I hear that all the time from folks. I'm too old. You know the other thing I hear all the time? I'm too busy. I'm too busy. Well, you're so old and you're so busy that God no longer means anything. Something's amiss. Not with your age. Not with your life as far as work goes, but with your heart. The matter's in the heart. Young people who don't have time for God because they're too busy. Middle-aged people don't have time for God because they're too busy. Older folks don't do what they ought to do for God because they're too old. Can I say something? I don't find any of that in the Bible anywheres. Nowheres. I don't know, but maybe I'm wrong. Somebody get out the King James Pure Bible app and search up the word retirement and find out if it's in the Bible that you and I can retire from service to God. My Bible says, be thou faithful unto death. You think about that. What is faithfulness? If with the last dying breath you've got, you say, glory be to God. That's faithfulness. But how many people call on God in their last few moments of life and their dying breaths, and their cry is, oh God, save me. Wasted lifetimes. Our children and grandchildren need to see us glorify God. And in order for us to do it, we're going to have to remember who He is and what He's done. To God alone be the glory. Great things He hath done. Not me, not you, Him. I couldn't lift my hand if it wasn't for God. Couldn't open my eye if it wasn't for God. Couldn't take a breath if it wasn't for God. Couldn't talk if it wasn't for God. Couldn't hear if it wasn't for God. Couldn't read if it wasn't for God. Do you know why the Bible says out of the mouth of babes comes perfect praise? Because it comes straight up from God. Think about it, church. You and I need to put all of our faith, our trust, our hope in God. And to God be the glory. Would you stand this morning? Father, today I thank Thee, Lord, for Thy love, Thy mercy, and Thy grace. Thank Thee, dear God, today for the many blessings that Thou hast given. Lord, I thank Thee for blessing me when I'm undeserving. And I can't really think of a reason why I would deserve it, God. All my righteousness is filthy rags. But for the little that I do for You, God, You've blessed me exceedingly. Lord, the least I can do is give You glory. So thank You. Help us, dear God, I pray today, to remember what You've done. Dear God, give You thanks and glory for it. Father, if there be a lost soul this morning here in our presence, we ask You, dear God, to save them. A backslidden soul, dear God, draw them back to Thee. God, one that's been wandering, Lord, show them that getting closer is Your greatest desire for our lives. Once we've been saved, is to maintain and walk closer to You every day. Lord, help us, we ask and we pray and we give You glory in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. Mm-hmm.